Look at King Saul's heart. If I say a life of falsehood, this man is so full of himself that he go and put up a statue in honor of himself. I am the king. Look at me. I have done everything the Lord commands. Man, I'm God's favorite. I'm his blue eye. I can put my paraphrasing. So full of himself. But it's a life of falsehood. And he lived in denial because he don't acknowledge that. Wow. So when he come back after he celebrate himself, and when Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instruction. I have done everything God commands me to do." But Samuel said, "If so, what then is this bleeding of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I heard? If it was so, this won't happen. I will not hear this. What is this then?" Oh, Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They are the ones," again, blame shifting, just like in the Garden of Eden, "spare the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice it to the Lord your God." Your God, not my God, your God. "But we totally destroy the rest." "Enough," said Samuel to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said last night to me." "Yeah, what? What was it? Tell me," Saul replied. I've done to the T everything that God commands. You know, we can lie so blatantly that we believe ourselves, that we deceive ourselves. And we know it's not right. We know we didn't listen to the Lord's command. And we try to put jam around Samuel's mouth. "Long live the king. May God bless you." But the heart is false. And God looks straight to the heart. And he sees the falsehood of it. And Samuel said, "Enough. I have enough of this." It's not the first time, Saul. Verse 17. Samuel said, and then he gave him a history lesson. "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. He sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?" "But I obeyed the Lord." Verse 20. Still, you don't get it. "I did." Remember, it's not me. It's the troops. It's the army who did this. Saul said, "I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag." He can't even listen what he hear what he's saying. "I bring Agag, the king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder. The best of what was devoted to God. It is not devoted to God. It's under God's curse. Because God said, I want nothing." He would give them instruction if he wants some. And he didn't. Because he want nothing of them. It was devoted to God in order to sacrifice them to the Lord. Again, your God. You see, there's no relationship between the king and the king of kings. Like the one with David and the king of kings. It's not my God, it's your God. There's no relationship, there's no connection here. I am, you know, the big shot here. Then he say, I think the key of disobedience is this. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed, to listen, to comply is better than the fat of rams, for rebellion is like the sin of divination, arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. First the kingdom, now the kingship. Because you, king, disregard God. You do not obey him, his laws, his precepts, whatever he say means nothing. And then you lie so blatantly and you believe yourself and you want to make the Holy One of Israel a liar by saying you've done everything that he commands you. Man, no. I want you to see the character of King Saul. So Samuel bring it home. He doesn't put jam. He doesn't soften it. He brings the word of God in his naked truth. And King Saul cannot handle the truth. Like so many can't handle the truth. And I think it's one of the toughest things for a servant of God to say what God laid it on their hearts. And they have to say it without apologizing for it. That's tough. I want you to see King Saul's heart. I want you to see a life. And here comes something of the falsehood of his character in front. Remember his words. It's not me. It's not me. It's my troops. Who's in command? The troops are you. Who has the biggest say? The greatest say? Who has the final authority? If God give you a command, the final come to him. He give it to you, and you have to give them the instruction. And they have to comply, because you are the king. God appointed you to do it. Tell them to do it. If they don't do it, you are in trouble with God. And it shows also his rebellious heart. He will not submit under the authority of God. And listen now to his heart. How cunning this man is. So in verse 24 of chapter 15, King Saul come and said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. It's not Samuel's instructions. It's God's instructions. He was just a mouthpiece of God. It's not his word. It's not his instructions. Here comes the thing. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. Oh, Samuel looked right through there. Here it looks King Saul repent. Here he look, he has some remorse. Was it really so? It looks like it. It looks like it because he say here, I have sinned. I violated the commandments of the Lord. I beg you, please forgive me. It sounds so sincere. Verse 30, I have sinned. I have sinned. Wow. But that was not genuine. How can I say that? How can I sin? Because when I look and I see, he said, I have sinned. Okay. Well, that sounds already, it's a beginning of, you know, the steps to repentance. Because Samuel said in verse 26, I will not go back with you. Why not? Because you didn't really repent from the heart. Why not? How can I say that? Remember, he put up a statue for himself. In honor of himself. It's good if someone else did it for you. But if you blow your own whistle and you think you are the main peanut in the empty can, it tells something about your character. And then listen to what he said. Please forgive me. I have sinned. Verse 30. But, the one hand cried out, please forgive me. Yes, the other hand, but please honor me before the men, before the elders of my people, and before Israel. I don't want to lose my prestige. I don't want to lose my honor. I don't want to lose my arrogance, and I'm so full of myself and my pride. I don't want to lose my kingdom. Please forgive me. I'm being caught out here. I don't want to lose my kingdom. You see, what I am is so important. You know, and if you don't do that, the men will disregard me as the king. And what do you think they're going to think about me? They're going to reject me. And I can't afford that. You know, after all, you know, I am the king, you know. Can't you just look the other way? With one hand, it looks like so sincere, but the other hand is here. No, don't do it. No, I will not do it, but this hand go out there. You know, and I do it anyway, because my heart is rebellious. I will not submit. With this hand I will cry crocodile tears, but with this hand I will drag as many as I can to hell. That's false. That's false. It's false. I want you to go and see another man. A man has sinned terribly. A man also who violated God's word, who disregarded God's word. And there was a difference. Yeah, I said, I don't think in my heart that there was genuine remorse in King Saul's heart. There was only the sorry, because God has caught me out. I didn't obey it, although I say I obeyed. But in my heart I know I didn't. And God knows. And that's why Numbers 32 verse 23 say, if you fail to obey God, you will be sinning against the Lord. And you may be sure that your sin will find you out. Your sin will catch up with you. If not in this life, surely before the throne of God. We live in such a denial that we believe yourself. I have sinned. You go and you read the whole of Psalm 51. A man who also sinned. David. David sinned with a man that he killed in the front lines of the war. He slept with his wife. And he tried to hide it and tried to cover it up. And he tried to make it that as if this man has slept with his wife. With his own wife. And unfortunately, he didn't. He has more wisdom than the king itself. But to cut the long story short, when God come with Nathan to him and tell David, you are the man who sinned. He also cry out, I've sinned. I have sinned. Let me read it to you. And he write in Psalm 51, he said, have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you. Look at this man's heart. You say, against you. You only have I sinned. And I done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justify when you judge. Oh, you can read the whole chapter, man. That's a penitent heart. That's a heart not just say, I have sinned. I am sorry because I'm being caught out. Yes, he did hide it and he tried to hide. But you know the difference between these two kings? While King Saul was just sorry and he was afraid to lose his kingdom, his kingship. He's afraid to lose his prestige and his image. David was afraid that he lose God. And he hate his sin because that brings separation between him and God. While King Saul has nothing of that in his heart. A life of falsehood. It's only the outer look appearance that's all that matters to him. Nothing of God in the heart. nothing. He disregard everything of God. That's why the Bible said the Spirit of God left King Saul. That's the difference between two men. Both said, I've sinned. And God restored one. And he reject the other one. Because there's not a remorse. You won't find it in a heart that is full of itself. Of deceit. Of arrogance. He don't even hate his sin. His lies. He believe himself. While David said, I've sinned against God. I don't care what my troops say. I don't care. I've sinned against God. I don't care if I lose the kingdom. I don't want to lose my relationship with God. Please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. And God was touched by David's heart. And he said, by this I will, this way you find me, by a contrite heart, a heart that is in broken in pieces of a godly remorse, you find me there. And Nathan said, God said, you will not die, but you will have trouble in your kingdom forever. Well, it's okay. God will give the grace as long as I have still a relationship with him. I cherish my relationship. What I've done was wrong. And I was blinded by my own lust. And he asked truly forgiveness from the heart. Not forgiveness with the one hand and do it with the other hand. Go do the wrong. No. With both hands, I'm sinned against you. Please forgive me. And God did. You see, between these two confessions, I think I already said it, King Saul, confession didn't have the desired effect on his conscience. There's no guilt on his conscience. The heart was not touched. It never been convicted of the wrong. And he feared the people more than what he feared God. And David, on the other hand, everything opposite of King Saul, David was touched in the heart, convicted in his heart of his sin. Godly sorrow come over him. He have a real hatred for his sin that he committed. And he feared God more than man. And I said, yeah, and the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow is just what King Saul has done. Yeah, I have sinned, but please honor me. You know, I still have a prestige, you know. It's not, I minimize my sin. I don't want to acknowledge truly the way God sees it. I don't want to see it that way. I don't see it that way. I'm deceived. I'm blind by it. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. I want to close here. How's it with our hearts when it comes to confession? How many times we say, I'm sorry, I've done wrong, I have sinned. I will even go so far and say, I have sinned. But truly in the heart, I don't see it like that. I don't see it that is separation between me and God. I don't see it that God can restore me. We don't use the word recover. We use the word restore. He said, restore in me the joy of thy salvation. Not recover me. He said, restore unto me the joy of your salvation again. Let me have that peace again. Let me have your joy again to know that I stand in a right relationship with you. No falsehood. Lord, I'm tired of it. I don't want it there. If there's any hidden sin in my life, expose it. If there's willful sin in my life, expose it. I bent lower before the throne. How is our hearts when it comes to confession? King Saul has a back door. He lost everything. At the end of the day, he lost his life. He tried to commit suicide. He did a half job. And he asked his servant to kill him. While he fell in his own sword and couldn't kill him. And someone else had to help him into death. His end was terrible. He start well. And end up tragic. And Israel Israel suffer of that until David comes on the throne. How's it with your heart? How's it with mine? How's it with our heart? Is there falsehood in it? God see it. It will find us out. Don't have a flippant sorry. Sorry for that word, flippant. It's not a swear word. You can check it up. But it is an apology that I am not really sorry. The only thing that I'm sorry and really across is because you caught me. That's all. But in my heart, I will not bow. I will not obey. I will deny it. Just like Saul. And what to do? Isn't what Indian people say? What to do? God know how to deal with that. He struck him. And God said, okay, remember what we read in verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 16? God said to him, hey, get over Saul, please. My paraphrasing of it. How long will you mourn for Saul? Since I have rejected him as king over Israel. Come on, fill your horn with oil and move on. Be on your way. I'm sending you to a man called Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be the king. I think from the beginning God had him in his mind. He just wanted to teach his people a lesson. How's it with us? You want God to teach you a lesson? It might cost you something. Maybe a limp that will be touched like Jacob. Don't play with God. Your sin will find you out. It will. You can hide it for a time. God see it. Really, let us be truthful when it comes to confession. If you want to have a relationship with God, even a deeper one with Him, then everything must be exposed. No backdoor, no falsehood. God hates falsehood. It's like lukewarmness. He said, I will spit it out. I can't taste it. I can't stand lukewarmness. May God help us. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. And Lord, this one lesson is just one lesson of falsehood. And if I compare it with David and I compare it with Samuel and I saw the integrity of these gentlemen and how disappointed and also fearsome was Samuel because King Saul can kill him. Because he did. He did it in the past. A lot of the priests that he just slain. Because your spirit has left him. And an evil spirit take place and take hold of him. And he died at the end of his life. A terrible, terrible way to die. Sometimes we think we are so full of ourselves. And we think I'm so entitled and willful. And you look right through to the core of that. Forgive us if there's falsehood. Expose it. Help us to acknowledge that. And not denying, not to live in self-denial. Help us, Lord, not to deceive us and come with humbleness. Like a David, touched by the heart, pierced in the heart, not snatched on the teeth. What to do? What must I do? Oh God, thank you. And confirm this truth in our own hearts. Many might not know this, Lord, and as they reread it again, that you also speak to their hearts once again. We ask this in your precious name.